And welcome back to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and I'm speaking with Dan Gibson, a longtime Tucson resident who has been reporting the shooting tragedy for the Tucson Weekly. And tomorrow, President Obama arrives to give a speech at the University of Arizona in Tucson. Apparently, already the Secret Service is nervous about protecting him, given the state's lax gun laws and the fact that most people are carrying and that a lot of people are carrying. So what's the buzz on the ground there about how this is an open event to the public? So I guess they're going to be doing some serious screening.
Yeah, they were very they were clear in the press releases and all the sort of media items already that they, if you wanted to attend the event or the memorial tomorrow, that you need to get there really early because the security was going to be really intense. And then today, the Governor Brewer had her State of the State address here in Tucson, and the security for that event was 2 to 3 times what it was last year or any other year. I mean, there were police officers everywhere.
So it's
intense, you know.
But in the legislature, what we're hearing from the lawmakers are, for example, the Representative Jack Harper of a Republican from Surprise is castigating Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dupnik, suggesting that he's responsible for Gabriel Giffords' shooting.
He did say that. I mean, it was sort of an off quote, but he did mention, I think, today that he did believe that Clarence Dupnik was responsible because he didn't provide enough protection for Giffords at that event, which is, I mean, sort of a fallacious argument just because Giffords is really one of the most public members of the House, period. I mean, she does a number of appearances all over the city, all over the state. And she's a very, really a model, I think, in a lot of ways for what a representative should be out in the public. Her opponent in the most recent election, Jesse Kelly, at the Republican Party on election night, had 4 security guards, all in black, big, burly guys. And Giffords was there with her husband at the Democratic rally with her husband with no security at all. So I just think it's just part of the person that she is, that she wanted to have that direct audience with people.
So the other thing that that happened in the not the legislature so much, but Brian Miller, the chairman of the local Republican Party, said that, asked President Obama to lead the effort to stop the blame. And this is there's an extraordinary, for every time anybody on the right, in particular on Fox News and others, refer to Clarence Dupnik, the Pima County Sheriff, they remind us that he's a Democrat. Democrat first, a sheriff second. You know, I don't know that ever happens. Whenever we talk about our local sheriff, you know, it's not whether he's a Republican or Democrat. So already it seems that the people on the right are sort of squirming and wanting this. They feel they're being blamed. And frankly, they're only being blamed for what they say. And I don't know why they don't man up and say, yeah, sure, we think that healthcare is socialism. We think that Obama is a Kenyan and doesn't have a legitimate birth certificate and all of the stuff that they've been saying for the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's a strange sort of – Arizona and Republicans have always been pretty outspoken. I mean McCain, until his most recent like hemming and hawing over things, was always the type of person who just said whatever was on his mind. John Kyle, the other senator, tended to sort of be outspoken. It never has been a problem before for Republicans in the state to say whatever they please. It is a sort of an interesting, what in wrestling they call like a face turn, where the narrative is now to become that ultra-conservatives in the state have always, you know, have been the voice of the people and that they, you know, voices of moderation. But that's clearly never been, it hasn't been the case in years in this state.
Well, also, you know, conservatives have always made the connection between, say, the Quran, it's obviously a false one, between the Quran and Islamic radicalism, suggesting that there are reasons for people being radicalized. And yet, in this case, the whole nation seems to be lost in this debate over whether this massacre was about toxic politics or a tormented mind. I mean, it's possible to be influenced by things, but not necessarily have those things be responsible for the acts.
Oh, for certain. I mean, it's certainly, for me at least, I didn't like that tenor before, and I certainly don't want to hear it into the future. I just don't think that's, I think Giffords was pretty careful to walk the high road. She never attacked Jesse Kelly personally, never went after the connections that his family had. I mean, I always felt like Democrats, especially in this state, have almost been too nice to some extent, like the not confrontational enough to discuss the issues in a pointed way. So it's befuddling to me that the idea now is to back down and that we're, you know,
right,
and
well,
going to be a party of nice.
But the Republicans are crying foul, as though they're being unfairly beaten up by people reminding them that this is actually their rhetoric and their stand and their platform and their beliefs. I find it extraordinary. Now, tell me again, Dan Gibson, a longtime Tucson resident who's been reporting the shooting tragedy in Tucson for the Tucson Weekly. The most powerful political figure in the state, Russell Pierce, again, he seems to want to talk about, he suggested that Obama should show his birth certificate before he comes to Arizona. So what's going on here? Would they rather, these politicians rather talk about these extraneous issues than, for example, talk about the state of Arizona's lack of mental health care and its lax gun control, which both of which clearly contributed to this tragedy?
Sure. I mean, it's unfortunately, at least in this state, I think the weakness of the Democratic Party has allowed immigration to be such just to drive the entire conversation. In the most recent gubernatorial election, Terry Goddard never stood a chance because, you know, Governor Brewer was allowed to run this immigration issue as the only issue. That was the only thing on the board. Our schools are falling apart. Our universities are getting cut back left and right. The state legislature decided to not take billions of dollars from the federal government to fund health care for children because they didn't want to spend like $500,000. None of those issues were brought up at all. It just was allowed to drive immigration, 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 because they've allowed, you know, the Republican Party has done an excellent job here of driving this fear into people that there's this wave of immigrants that are going to come across the border and that all our lives are threatened when the reality is that the majority of crime here has very little to do with immigration. You know, the economy is mostly derived from the Republicans here cut, and you know, their desire not to have anybody pay taxes. It's just this absurdist thing that the narrative is immigration is what's ruining Arizona, when it's, to my mind, it's a far-right Republican legislature.
And apparently, but the voters who clearly vote for the far right, they don't seem to care about the quality of their candidates so much as the ideology. I mean, I spoke at the time when Governor Brewer had a press conference. She was campaigning. She simply didn't. She had melted down. She publicly froze because she couldn't remember what it was that she'd achieved in her tenure. And it was the most extraordinary performance by a politician I've ever seen. And I asked a reporter from the Arizona Republic about that, and he said, "Oh, well, we all know she's as dumb as a bag of hammers."
that's generally been the perception. It's that nobody knew what she had done before. She was willing, you know, just to abandon any record that she had. There was no record there. And she's just part of a Republican legislature that is driven by these heavy personalities. And I think to some extent, hopefully here at the Weekly, we've done a good job of telling the story, but people just don't ask questions about what's going on in the legislature when, you know, they're making these decisions that are affecting all of our lives.
Well, the one thing the legislature agrees on is that they're not too happy about this crazy bunch of people from the Westboro Baptist Church who protest at funerals and of soldiers and have signs up saying God hates fags, etc. They apparently have they've agreed to try and stop them, I believe, from protesting at the funerals coming up on Thursday and Friday. But I was just reading here, Dan Gibson, about this is a quote from Clark Romans, who's executive director of the Tucson branch of the National Alliance of Mental Illness. And they have done a study in Tucson suggesting there are 60,000 to 100,000 seriously mentally ill people in the Tucson area, but fewer than 20,000 are being treated in the public mental health system. I mean, that...
it's a mess here. It's hands down, the mental health system is a mess. We have great laws. The laws here for mental health are among the best in the country, but the funding is atrocious.
So is this tragedy going to stop all of this ideological breastfeeding and all of this crazy stuff about irrelevant things? Or you think that the people just, that's the kind of politics they like? They don't necessarily want pragmatic, hardworking politicians who get things done. They just want grandstanders.
I wouldn't say I'm hopeful, but I think at the end of this two-year term of the legislature, I think people might, my hope is that they kind of wake up a little bit and say, listen, we've engaged in all these distractions. Russell Pierce says it's his mission to get rid of the 14th Amendment. I mean, you know, you have all these things going on, but at the end of the day, people still won't have jobs. They don't have health insurance. They don't have sort of the basic things that make a state worth living in. And, you know, for a long time, people fled California because it was too expensive to come here to start anew. But now I don't know where people are going to flee to. I mean, they don't want to live here. I love this state. I love a lot of things about it. I love the culture here in Tucson. But, I mean, when I have a son in public school and they just keep cutting and cutting, and, you know, you have the state head of education on this mission to end ethnic studies in the school district my son goes to and is willing to cut 10% of the district's budget just to end ethnic studies. Well, why? The people in those classes, the students in those classes are doing better. They have a higher graduation rate, but these ideologues don't like the idea of ethnic studies because they find it to be racist or a threat to their power. And I'm hoping at some point that the absurdity of the government here will turn people off and they vote their conscience instead of their fear.
Well, just in the last couple of seconds then, Dan Gibbs, do you think the president, I mean, there's some expectation or at least pressure on the president to deliver a speech along the lines of what Bill Clinton did after the massacre in Oklahoma City, which was a game changer, given the inhospitable climate down there. What do you think in the last few seconds he's going to be able to do tomorrow?
My understanding is that he's going to speak, tell some stories from the conversations he's had with victims and the families of victims, and that he's going to talk about the spirit of service. I hope that he holds up Gabrielle Giffords as an example of what a congressperson should be. I don't expect that he's going to address the violence issue, although there's a part of me that would like him to say that Clarence Stupnick is right.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today, Dan Gibson. Again, a longtime Tucson resident. He's been reporting on the shooting tragedy for the Tucson Weekly. I'd like to thank engineer Ray Paliers and producer Spencer Downing. I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 with another daily briefing. Bye for now.